Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to read Psalm 1. We have done most of the books at one, actually every book so far, we've done one sermon on the entire book. But as I said last time, we're going to take five sermons on the book of Psalms. And I've really looked forward because the Psalms are, all the books in the Bible are wonderful, but the Psalms are really wonderful as well. We're going to read Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 is part of God's holy and living and life-giving word. We read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." As far as the reading of God's word, let us pray that the Lord would give us insight into his word. The Heavenly Father, we are greatly blessed that we have been given the privilege to read and hear your word, that we can ponder its truth. Lord, we pray that this sermon, as it is such a practical topic tonight, that it would really change our lives and transform the way that we follow you so that we might walk closer with you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, as said, we're continuing in our series through the Bible. And we've been going, as we have seen in some of the inserts in your bulletin, through the Hebrew order of the Bible. Now this week, you don't have an insert of the book of Psalms. What we will do is, with the last sermon, the fifth one, I will do an insert and I will give you the overview of all the books of the Psalms. So we're going to do one, but we'll do it in the last sermon on the book of the Psalms. Now, in the Hebrew order of the Bible, and really the way that Jesus speaks about it as well, it's the law, the prophets, and the writings. The law we have finished first, and now last time we finished the prophets, where we looked at the last prophet, and now we come in the writings. And as the word writings implies, there are different types of books in here. We're going to start with the wisdom books of the Old Testament. And so the first one of the Hebrew order of the Bible is the book of Psalms, or rather the books of the Psalms. If you have your Bible in front of you, please turn to Psalm 42 and look at what is right above Psalm 42, or rather with between Psalm 41 and 42. If this is not true in every book, and every maybe not be true in all of your Bibles, but most of you will see that it says Book 2. Chapter 42 has a subscript above it that says Book 2. Well, if you go through your Psalms, there are actually five books. So book 1 is chapters 1 to 41, or Psalms 1 to 41. Book 2 is 42 to 72. Book 3 is 73 to 89. Book 4 is 90 to 106. And the last book is 107 to 150. Now there have been many scholars that have debated of the differences between the books and how they're used. And there's all kinds of ways of looking at it. But I'm going to give you the one that I think is most helpful. And so we will focus on the theme of this five books as we look at these five different books of the Psalms. I think that the best way of seeing the differences between these books is that the first book is the private or personal prayers of David. That's what we'll look at today. The second book are the public prayers of David. That doesn't mean that all of them are public, but by and large you hear "we" and "us" as he's praying for the nation. And then the third book, 73 to 89, it's the prayers from Solomon to the Babylonian exile. You can kind of see the history unfolding of the Psalms. And then the fourth book is the songs to God, to Yahweh, that is looking forward to a future restoration, right? So if we go back, starts with David and David's kingdom as an individual, as a shepherd boy. Then it goes to David as a king, He's praying for the nation. Then you have Solomon to the Babylonian exile, to the decline of the nation. Then the fourth book, prayers to God that they will look forward to a future restoration. And the last book celebrates a future David or a future kingdom. In other words, it looks forward to Christ. So it begins with David and it ends with the future David. And so we're going to look at the Psalms in that way. It doesn't mean that Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is following this theme, but by and large, this is the division of the book of Psalms. So today, I would like to take the time to look at the first book, Psalm 1 to 41, through 4 points. We're going to look at the theme, and Lord willing, we'll do this with every book. We'll start with the theme of understanding the general theme of the Psalms. There's many themes, many topics in the Psalms, but we're going to see the overarching theme, and then I'm going to give you examples as we look through some of the Psalms, and then we're going to look at the message that flows from that, and then finally, and I think this will be very helpful, the use of the Psalms. So a lot of us have favorite Psalms, but I think not all of us are optimally using, including myself, optimally using the book of Psalms in our own life. So you know, if I'm thinking about my heart is stirred up and how do I pray for the future of God restoring everything, what psalm should I be looking at and how should I pray? Or in my personal life, or how do I pray for our nation? How do I pray for the church? So we're going to see what the use is of these specific books of the Psalms so we can practically apply this wisdom and these songs to our lives. And then finally, so we'll close with personal use of the Psalms. We'll start with the theme, and the theme of book one, and you'll see this in your bulletin as well, is the theme of a deep, personal, and honest relationship with God. Psalm 1, especially Psalm 3 to 41, are focused on a deep, personal, honest relationship with God. And I often hear the question, Pastor, how do we pray? How do I pray? I have words, I know what I want from God, but it feels my prayers are so shallow so many times. How do I have a deep prayer life? Well, book 1 of the Psalms, 1 to 41, the rest of the Psalms as well, but especially the first book, are focused on helping us to pray in a way that develops a deep, personal, spiritual life with God. That being said, it begins with two psalms, Psalm 1 and 2, that kind of introduce the entire book of the Psalms. Psalm 1 begins with an individual, call to the individual to follow after God, to be in His Word, and to walk with God all the days of our life. And so Psalm 1 is the call to individuals. That's one of the themes that every psalm deals with. And Psalm 2 is a call for the nations. All right, so Psalm 1 is the individual. Blessed is the man. It focuses on you as an individual. And Psalm 2, it begins with the nations. So Psalm 1, individual. Psalm 2, the nations. And in Psalm 2, it's a call for the people of the world to repent and turn back to God. So you see why the New Testament quotes Psalm 2 again and again. It speaks about the people to turn back to God, and when Christ came and was resurrected and went to heaven and the Holy Spirit was poured out, the church went forth proclaiming that this is the time of the fulfillment of Psalm 2, where God calls the nations of the world to come back to God. So Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 work together. You see that? Psalm 1 is the individual, how to walk with God, how to be blessed in this world. And Psalm 2 is to the world. All of you, come to God and make peace with God because He will ultimately judge. But then from Psalm 3 onward, we have the personal prayers of David. Many of the Psalms are written in the first person, my God, my shield, my shepherd, my enemies, my needs. Their prayers are very personal. David speaks of his fears to God, of his pain, of his need. We see David devastated. We see David fearful, frightened. But we also see his joys, his confidence, his love. He will many times say, my God, my shield, my shepherd. And so book one the theme that it gives. And it teaches us how to walk with God. And I think this is a lesson that we, especially in West Michigan, the Western world, need to really grasp. What Psalm 1 teaches is that walking with God is something real, something personal, something that affects every emotion of your heart that you express before God. Now, it is not a standardized prayer that you say every time before and after dinner, and then before you go to bed, you have three prayers that you say, and that's your prayer life. No, no, no. The first book of the Psalms teaches us that we must express every feeling and every emotion, no matter if it is sadness or if we are being tempted or if we're being overjoyed, that all of that needs to be coming into our prayer life as we relate to God. Very much like a marriage relationship. Every emotion is shared with your partner, isn't it? Your husband or your wife. Every emotion is shared, and in the same way, whether you're married or not, makes no difference. You must share all your emotions with God. And I think we lack in that. And I think the reason, I think the result of that lack is that our prayers often feel dry, superficial, a list of sorts. A going through the motions, almost like a mantra of just saying something and just hoping something will affect me emotionally in some way. And the reason is because it's not prayer. Prayer is something deeply personal with God. You bring your needs to God. Sometimes you must be in tears before God, unless your life is always smooth and you never have an issue in your life. Which if that's the case, you're already in heaven and you can just speak face to face with God. But as long as we are in this world, sometimes there must be tears. We must share that with God. God hears. When we pray, God hears our prayers. Sometimes there must be joy. Sometimes there must be praise. Sometimes there must be anxiety, bringing our anxious thoughts to God. Sometimes there must be questioning or even challenging God. Have you ever challenged God? And I don't mean in a proud way, but in the way of, I need you, God. Lord, how long, oh God? How long will you wait until you hear my prayers? God, I have been waiting too long. How long? Arise, oh Lord. Stand, my God. You pray like that? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you pray like that? If God is your closest friend, your closest companion, your shepherd, the God who loves you, and you believe that, that's why you bring everything to Him. That's what the first book of the Psalm teaches us, to be real with God, to be honest with God. It requires a man or a woman to draw near to God's Word and to separate himself from all worldly influences. That's what the first book of the Psalm teaches us. It requires us to be bold, to be confident in faith, to be honest before God. It requires a deep knowledge of God's character that is required through the reading of God's Word. Studying God's character is not merely a systematic theology exercise. It's not so then you can check all the boxes and get a good theology and get an A on your report of good Christian knowledge. No, the character of God is desperately needed for your prayers. Unless you know that God is a good God, you're not going to bring your needs to Him. Unless you know that God is a hearing God, an omniscient God, an all-seeing God, you're not going to think that He sees your needs. Unless you know that God is an all-loving God, you won't trust Him to ask Him for help. Unless you know that God is an all-powerful God, you will not ask God sufficiently to help you. And so, the first book of the Psalms teaches us that there's two things. We must be a man who is always in God's Word, or a woman who is always in God's Word, pondering who God is, and at the same time being honest with our needs, with our desires, with our pains, our fears, our anxiety, our failures, to bring all of it to God. Now, I want to give you some examples of that through a number of Psalms. And obviously, it would have been better if we had a couple of days nonstop to go through all 41 of these and exegete them one by one and dive into this, but we're going to summarize, and I trust that you're still reading along with us through the book of the Psalms, 41 Psalms. You can read very quickly. But I want you to read and ponder what this means for our spiritual life. It begins with Psalm 1, and the lesson here is the way of happiness and being fulfilled is a life of meditating on God's Word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. This is the one who's blessed. If you want to be a happy person and you're by and large a person that's not happy, that is always worried about everything, it's because you're not in the Word enough. That you let your thoughts be crowded by the world, by the anxieties out there, that you listen your ears, that you tune your ears to the wrong sounds. Your thoughts must be in the Word day and night. The general conversation of your life, which every now and then must be interrupted by practical means of you working and you being alive in this world, but the general conversation of your thoughts should be God's Word. You see how far we are from normalcy? The general thought of God, you must wake up in the morning filling your mind with God's Word and then sustaining that when you're not in the Word and you have time to think in God's Word, and then refuel throughout the day with God's Word, day and night. And here is the result. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This morning, in our catechism class, we likened this to, if you look at the tree and its roots, it's constantly in the water because it's by the river. In the same way, the blessed man, he is always receiving fresh waters from the Word of God because he's meditating day and night. In the same way, a tree is rooted in the water. It's being refreshed constantly. That's why it bears fruit. And so your life, you must organize in such a way that you are constantly being refreshed by the Word of God. If you're at work, ponder the Word of God. In the midst, ponder the Word of God. You say, well, how do I do that? I forget so quickly. Write it down in the morning. Put it in your pocket. Ponder upon the Word of God. If you have a computer that you can put post-its on, post the Word of God on your computer screen. A new verse every day for you to ponder, being always in the Word of God, drinking in the precious streams of God's flowing river of truth, so that you are being strengthened day by day by day. But the psalmist also recognizes that not everyone follows after God. For, verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. If you're not in the Word of God, you're like a tree that has no roots. It falls right over. Little gush of wind, you're lying on with your face in the dust. There's no way to stand, and ultimately you will not stand in the judgment. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The word knowing is a very intimate word, isn't it? Not in our language, but in the biblical language. To know, Adam knew his wife, and she gave birth. Knowing is a word of intimacy. Here, the Lord knowing the way of the righteous is not that he has some type of mental knowledge. It means that he has a deep personal awareness and care for His people. The Lord knows where you travel because He's right there with you. And so this first psalm teaches us that to be blessed, to walk with God in a deep personal relationship, we must walk being filled with God's Word. Let's go to the next example where we start with David's Psalms. The first psalm here was written when David fled from his son Absalom. You may remember this. David was king and his son is gathering a crowd around him, so much so that the nation seemed to be rejecting David, and David flees with his people and he's far away. I mean, he is on the down point of his life. His own son is going after him, seeking to kill him. This is what he writes in Psalm 3, 1-4. O Lord, O Yahweh, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. That's prayer. I cried aloud to the Lord. Not a little whisper here, but I'm in desperate need, God. Come to my salvation. Help me, O God. I need you. I can't bear it. My son is out there. He's coming to kill me. My enemies are everywhere. Help me, God. You pray like that? That's living prayer. Not the tone of the voice or the loudness of the voice, but the heart. And for some of us, that means we should cry out to God sometime. Lift up our voices to God. This is the first part, the theme of God watching over his people. And you know the word shield in the Bible, if you've read the book of Psalms, because it's everywhere. It's one of David's favorites. Stronghold and shield. The people who trust in God have an eternal shield to protect them. He is their shield. And if his people call on him, God will be there. We see the same theme in Psalm 18, which is one of my favorite psalms. And in Psalm 18, David records God's response to him. I'm going to read to you a larger portion, verses 4 to 15. And I'm going to read, and when I read it, it's going to sound like I'm acting it out. I'm not acting at all. I'm just reading the way I think it's supposed to be read. And the way that we are supposed to be praying. And the way that we're supposed to be reading Scripture. Listen to this in Psalm 18, 4 to 15. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. In other words, he's being pulled down to death. That's the idea. Sheol, the realm of the dead, is already putting his cords on his feet and he's dragging him down into the pit. That's the idea. The snares of death confronted me. He's at the point of death. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also of the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. Why was he angry? Because David is in trouble. And somebody was trying to be in David's way and trying to kill him. And it angers God. You see that? Isn't that wonderful? David, a man, a ball of dust. He's being attacked by some other people, other balls of dust. And one of them, David, his son, cries out to him, and God stamps with his feet, and the earth begins to tremble because God is angry. It goes on. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. God comes rushing in. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick clouds of dark with water. Out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. In other words, God comes in, rushing in, throwing everything to God's enemies, to David's enemies. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightnings and routed them. Then the channels of the seas were seen, and the foundations of the earth were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. That's our God. That's our God when we pray. Can you imagine that? When you cry out to God, and as you look up from your prayer, God comes down and protects, stands. Not just simply answering, okay, I'll do it, you guys, back. But with an emotion so powerful that it's almost violent. He stands for his people. Beloved, I want you to live in this kind of prayer life. Not just me. I mean, my opinion is just an opinion. But God calls us to pray like this, to have this kind of faith in God. Do you believe that when you pray, it affects God's emotions, as far as we could describe emotions of God? That when you cry out to Him, it stirs God in His heart? That's different, isn't it? Isn't that glorious? That God is not sitting up there as a CEO sending out commands of angels, do this, do that. Okay, got another request in, answer. But that God hears it, it comes into His ear, and as He hears you cry, as you are seeking to honor Him, but you're being attacked unfairly and unkindly, He stands up and He roars. Wouldn't you want to pray to a God like that? He is more passionate than men, beloved. He hears His people pray. Psalm 23. In the most famous psalm, Psalm 23, David refers to Yahweh as his shepherd. Yahweh is a loving God who watches over him so that God's people do not have to be afraid. And God is the restorer of our soul. Listen to this. We don't have time to go through the whole psalm, but let's verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Think about that. On the one hand, He steps out violently against our enemies. But when He comes to us, and our soul is all in turmoil, and it's restless, it's anxious, it's worried, it's filled with cares. When we bring those to Him, the Lord restores our soul. Rest, my beloved, my child, my dear one. As Jesus restored the wild ocean, the lake, it was about to swallow up the disciples. Jesus said, "Be still." And there was a perfect calm. In the same way, David says, when I bring my anxieties and my fears to my shepherd who watches over me, He restores my soul. He watches over me and says, "Calm. My son, my daughter, I am your shepherd. I watch over you." And so David doesn't have to be afraid. For God is his shepherd. And as Psalm 27 says, God is also his light and his salvation. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? That's a good way to start your prayers. As a matter of fact, there are many good ways to start your prayers in the book of the Bible, in the book of Psalms, but this is a good one. Lord, you are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord, the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God watches over me. Shall I be afraid of the little flies that try to nibble, that try to attack and try to fly into me? If God is my shield, shall I be afraid of anxieties, of fears? If God is my light, do I have to be afraid of the darkness? He is my light. God will not let David be lost. I want you to see this. It shouldn't stop there. When you understand that God is your light and your salvation, and he watches over you, that should stir up your heart in such a way that you land on verse 4, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked for of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord of Yahweh all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Beloved, I guarantee you, if you begin to pray the first book of the Psalms and you begin to actively seek out its truth and follow in its way, it won't be long until you are with David saying, there's one thing I desire most of all. It's to be in God's house and to be near him. And in David's time, the closest place that was the temple. But we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We can be in unbroken communion with the Spirit who lives within us. Our deepest desire, first book of the Psalm teaches us, must be to know God and to be near to him. You see, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't affect this. It doesn't matter if you're married or single. It doesn't affect this. It doesn't matter if you have children or no children. It doesn't affect this. This is more important than any other human relationship. And once you begin to delve into the Psalms, you begin to see and come to this point, one thing I desire, one thing I long for. All the other pursuits have ended into discouragement, but this one is getting better every step of the journey. To see the Lord, to walk with him. So that brings us to the closing of Psalm 41, of the first book of the Psalms. In Psalm 41, 11 to 13, we read, by this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. God concludes, or David concludes by saying this, here is how I know that you love me, O God. My enemy will not triumph over me, and I will be in your presence forever. You see how David's life is similar to ours? Because our enemy will not win. And one day we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. And so the first book of the Psalms goes through every situation of life that we find ourselves in as individuals who walk with God, and it concludes with this. By the end of this, the first book of the Psalms, it says, my enemy will not triumph, and I will be in your presence. Which brings us to the message. God watches over the believer who seeks him, who walks with him. It's the message of the first book of the Psalm. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. It's a book of the, it's the message of the last book of the Psalms. We will be with him and our enemies will not overcome and overtake us. A man or a woman who makes God's word and God, his sole delight, will always bear fruit in this life. And one day plant its feet in the house and the garden of our God. God watches over the believer who follows after him. Which brings us to the final point. How do we use the first book of the Psalms? This is a prayer book, beloved. Use it as a prayer book. Yes, sing the Psalms, delight in the Psalms, pick your favorite, all of that is fine. But if you live through this, all of them will be your favorites throughout your life. Because you're going to find different psalms speaking to you at different times. This must be your prayer book. Use these chapters, these 41 psalms, to teach you how to pray. Turn the prayers into psalms. Turn the psalms into prayers. God, help me to be a blessed man. Help me not to walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, O God. But help me to delight in your law day and night. Help me to meditate upon it day and night. Father, I want to be that tree planted by the streams of water, which leaves does not wither, because I want to bear fruit for your kingdom, O God, so that I can stand before you, because I know you watch my ways. Or Psalm 4, 6 to 8. And I'm going to turn this into a prayer. O Lord, there are many who say, in my life and in this world, who will show us some good? Paul, show me some good. But you, O God, knowing you, what can I say but this? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O God. Show us your glory, for that is the only good I truly always desire. Lord, you have put more joy in my heart through the Lord Jesus Christ, through your word, through the fellowship of my brothers and sisters. You've put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine and their stocks abound, and all the stuff. But I have God. I have joy in my heart. All the stuff is for your glory. But you have put joy in my heart, God. Refresh it today. Lord, today I've been sorrowful. I've been distracted, or something hard came into my life. Lift up the light of your face upon me. Be near, God. Put your joy in my heart. Help me to rejoice in you again. For I know, verse 8, in peace, God shalom, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I will rest, Lord. Tonight when you go to bed, pray the Psalm 4, verse 8. Lord, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you, O Lord, alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You watch over me. You care for me. And because you are near, I am not alone. Your peace will abound. For every day and every heartbeat that you have determined for my earthly life to dwell on earth, I will lay down and rest in you until I go home and be in your presence forever. Beloved, this is a very practical book. When you use it practically, I would challenge you, when you go to prayer, take a psalm, read it, and if there's anything that you can pray, pray it, And every prayer you pray, start with a psalm and go through the first book of the Psalms a couple of times this week as you pray, or the next few weeks as you pray. Pray through the Psalms and let David teach you how to pray. And you will find that God will become more real in your prayer life, that your prayers will change from lists that you bring to God to a living relationship where you will bring needs to Him that are the heart cry of your heart that you may have never felt before. But you can bring them to God in prayer. Let God teach you how to pray. Cry out to God. Find a place alone. Or if you need me, or if you need be, if your spouse is out of the house, cry out to God. When you praise Him, lift up your voice in prayer and praise to Him. Call upon Him. Shrug the shame off your shoulders. It's fine to have prayers that you repeat. But if you struggle in rejoicing in prayer or being moved by prayer or longing for prayer, let God's Word teach you how to pray. And you will see soon enough that God is the only desire of your life, and you will walk with God for the rest of your day, and you will be like Enoch one day. And he walked with God, or she walked with God, and he was no more. For God took him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful book of the Psalms. Lord, we pray that you would help us to pray. Help us, Lord, to cry out unto you, to bring all our needs before you. For Lord, show us your glory. Lord, we pray that you lift up the light of your face upon us here gathered tonight. Lord, we pray for those who are at home. Lord, that the light of your face would be lifted up on us. That we would see your glory and be transformed. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.